So today we're going to talk about perseverance and about patience and about endurance. If you can't, can you hear me? Is it going through? All right, if you can't, say something. So there is a man named Chief Dan George. He's from Vancouver, British Columbia, or he was. He was actually a First Nations Indian chief from my hometown, Vancouver. He died in 1982, and he was a movie star, a poet, an activist, an author. And one of his lines he uttered in a movie was, when he was describing the plight of the indigenous people in North America, he said these words. He said, "Endeavor to persevere. Endeavor to persevere." And I have never forgotten that line. Sometimes we get in trouble in life, we go through some valleys or hard times, and sometimes we just have to endeavor to persevere. You know, we don't have much time or much trouble endeavoring or persevering or having patience when we're at a party, do we? That seems to be pretty easy to get through. But in the Christian life, we sometimes fall into some valleys, and we have to just endeavor to persevere and say to ourselves, "This too shall pass." So I'd like to explore a little bit about perseverance, which I think is the same thing as endeavoring and maybe slightly different, but patience. I mean, in fact, one of the translations of the text today talks about endurance of the saints, not just patience. So there's lots of permutations of that thought. Now, from the human perspective, perseverance is a necessary commodity. I remember, you probably remember back in the day, there was a poster. My wife says she had it in her dorm room at Milo. There's this cat. He's hanging on a knot at the end of a rope. Remember that poster? And it says, the caption reads, "When you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and just hang on." You know, sometimes that's all you feel that you can do. It's just hang on. Winston Churchill is reported to have said, "Success is the ability to move from one failure to another without the loss of enthusiasm." Now, we don't want to have Christian failure after Christian failure, but there is something to be said for endeavoring and persevering yet with enthusiasm. And there are lots of human stories about perseverance. I mean, the Bible's full of them, but there's one story I want to relate that we probably know a little bit about, and that's about George Mallory. As you know, George Mallory was the first person, or one of the first people to climb or try to reach the top of Mount Everest. He tried between 1920 and 1924, he tried three times to reach the top of Mount Everest. This is a time where they had no oxygen and leather boots and leather goggles and not the gear they have nowadays. Well, on his third attempt, he reportedly have said, "I can't see myself coming down defeated." Well, we know that in 1999, his body was found at the 27,000-foot level. He was about 2,000 feet below the summit. And he was found clinging to the rocks with his head pointing towards the summit. As his group went down, they came down off the mountain, they held a little ceremony for him. The leader of that group said, speaking to the mountain, he said, "Mount Everest, in the name of all brave men living and those yet born," he said, "Mount Everest, you defeated us once, you defeated us twice, you defeated us three times, but Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you. Because you can't get any bigger, but we can." So we all know that in 1953, two climbers, Sir Edmund Hillary and Norgay Tenzinger, the local Sherpa, they reached the top of Mount Everest. And for years after that, until their death, they argued amongst themselves, actually, who got there first. So even though history records that Sir Edmund Hillary got there first, Norgay Tenzinger admitted to his death or held to his death that he got there first. And so history We'll not have a final conclusion to that matter. We'll have to see later on who got there first. And actually, we don't know if either one of them got there first, because when they found Mallory's body, they weren't sure whether he reached the top or not, and that's still argued today. So when Sir Edmund Hillary was asked, what do you think of that possibility that you may not have been the first one to get to the summit of Mount Everest? He's reportedly have said, getting to the bottom is important too. Now in the Christian life, we have ups and downs, don't we? It'd be great if we could go from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop and have that mountaintop experience. And maybe we should be having mountaintop experiences, but all too often we find ourselves down in the valley, either through troubles of our own making, or trials and tribulations that are brought to us, or just circumstances that exist in this world. And David knew something about that in the 23rd Psalms. We talked about the valley of the shadow of death. He knew something about trials and tribulations and persevering. Now, there are lots of examples of perseverance in the Scriptures. In fact, the Scriptures is really just one big story of perseverance, endeavoring, and patience. And I think the most notable example of that is God's patience with us. The Scriptures record over 50 times that His mercy endureth forever. So when we think of perseverance, enduring, and patience, we have to think about God and our Savior and His patience and endurance with us. He never gives up. He endures forever. But there are a lot of other biblical examples, and we could go on probably all afternoon talking about the Bible heroes and their endurance, their patience, and their persistence. I mean, you've got Noah, who preached 120 years. You have Moses guiding the children of Israel through the wilderness, and where God wanted to wipe them out, and he pled with God, said, no, take me instead. And he persevered throughout the wilderness. We have Joseph, who was sold into slavery and found himself in prison. All the disciples faced persecution, and 10 were martyred. But there's one individual amongst the group of apostles, actually it's the apostle born out of time, Paul, who describes his troubles and how he persevered. We find that in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and 27. You know, Paul's ministry, after he was found on the road by God on the Damascus Road and he had that Damascus experience, he probably worked for 40 more years. And he traveled 1,400 miles, most of that by foot. So Paul knew something about endeavoring to persevere. And he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27, he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weakness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and darkness. Now there's a man who knew how to persevere. So think of the Apostle Paul when we talk about patience and perseverance in the Christian life. But there are 3 examples that I think sort of stand out amongst all people, or all people persevering in the Scriptures. The first one I think of is Job. We all know about Job and the troubles that he went through, and how he is a representation of us as we sort of go through the time of trouble, how he had everything. And of course, we know the story. Satan came to God and challenged him and says, yeah, he's faithful to you and he's a perfect man just because he gets all this stuff from you. And God says, no, that's not the case. He's a true believer. And so he was tested. And we know that he was tested and lost everything. He's found himself sitting in an ash heap, covered with boils, with a wife complaining to him, and 3 of his supposed friends, giving him the what fur over something that he had done. And miserable Job, through all that experience, never gave up, never cursed the Lord, and remained faithful to the Lord. And we know also that after that experience, he was restored. He lived long enough to see 4 generations born, and he died. It says here that he died being old and full of days. So Job is an example of perseverance, especially through that time of trouble that we know is coming. He's an example of that, persevering after losing everything. He can't see God. God seems very distant, but he perseveres through faith. And Steps to Christ is that Jesus is our example in all things. And as such, he's our example also in perseverance. Of course, his whole ministry was perseverance, right? He went through and suffered greatly through the whole ministry. But his night in the Garden of Gethsemane is really the epitome of perseverance. We know that he suffered greatly. We know the angels attended him. His disciples, they were sleeping. It says in Matthew 26:38, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Now we always admire or are told to have the faith of Jesus. Now in my reading, I'm no scholar. I'm not a Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic scholar. But in my readings, when we talk about the faith of Jesus, we can talk about the faith in Jesus. We can talk about the faith of Jesus, by Jesus, through Jesus, with Jesus. And these words are all similar, I'm told, in the Greek. Now, maybe some of you biblical scholars could point me out the error of my ways at the end of the sermon, but that's my understanding. And one aspect of the faith of Jesus is never giving up, having that perfect faith, that faith in your Father through that relational experience, that even though he seems distant or absent, and you cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that Jesus knew that God was still there, and he had faith that God would pull him through in the end, even though he couldn't see. Much like Job, only Jesus, of course, did it better. We also know that we're going to have a similar experience in the Bible. There's a group of people called the remnant that have a similar experience in the Bible. Now, of course, as Jim says, that is us, and that's us in the future. We are remnant people now, but in the future, we're going to have to go through the time of trouble. In the scripture, Revelation 14:12, talked about, said, "Here are the patience of the saints and those that keep the commandments of God and have that faith of Jesus." That faith, through all the trouble and however distant God might appear at the moment, he is with them and he is faithful to us. Daniel 12:1 says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, that great prince who watches over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." Matthew 10:22 says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, the Bible heroes knew something about perseverance, didn't they? God seemed distant, but they had that faith of Jesus, that faith in Jesus, that even through times which were bleak, the darkest, darkest nights, they had faith that they'd get through and be saved in the end. Now, you know, we sit here in Brookings, and we have our own little trials right now, don't we? I don't want to minimize that's a little trials. I mean, they may pale towards trials to come, but we have trials every day as a Christian. You know, we may have trials of health. We may have troubles with money, relationships. We may have spiritual trials. These are all wrapped up in the Christian life because we can't separate the spiritual from the temporal. It's all our Christian life. We're born into a world that is sinful because of choices people made, and God values the principle of love, which is linked inexorably to free will. So we live in a world that is not functioning like it's intended to. And we find ourselves in suffering. Unfortunately, some of that suffering is of our own doing. In fact, the most intense suffering I ever had is, well, basically my own fault. Something I've done, something I didn't do that I should have. But it's our own fault much of the time. So we find ourselves suffering and in pain. And some of us just seem to have a little more suffering dealt to us than others. We sort of get snake bit, some of us. We just have one trial after another until we just feel like that cat hanging on that rope. It was a knotty end of it, and we got to hang on. That's the job that we have, is hanging on. Well, as we get older, which all of us are, look around. We tend to be an older church, which is not unusual in this day and age. And with age comes loss and with age comes pain. It is said sometimes that loss is the essence of aging, dealing with loss. We have the loss of friends and family, health, function, vitality, independence. So we can look forward to a lot of good things in life, but it doesn't seem that, you know, according to this world, you know, it's not going to get any easier for us. Romans 5, 3 to 4 tells us that, but there is a benefit in the tribulations. It says, but we also glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now in your bulletin, I see there's some printed there, some other texts that are also very good about patience, perseverance, and endurance. You might want to look those up when you get home. Some of those I looked at, but some of them are very applicable, and you might be encouraged to read those on your own time. So we have trials and tribulations, and we must persevere. That's part of the Christian life. If you give up, like the Hebrews, when Paul wrote to them, they're thinking of giving up, and he said, don't give up, because if you give up, you're lost. The only way to go is forward. So we really have, as a Christian, no choice but to hang in there and move forward. So how do we do that? How do we persevere? How do we endeavor to persevere? How do we exercise the patience of the saints? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. At least this is my opinion. I think I'm right. Of course, I'm right, right? All my opinions are right, or I wouldn't hold them. But this is my opinion. One way that we don't do it, I don't believe, by, quotes, gutting it out. I mean, it isn't intestinal fortitude, although that's a very valuable commodity in this life, but we can't get to where we need to be by gutting it out. If that were the case, some cultures, some families, would have an advantage over you and me. I mean, let's face it, there are some cultures that are pretty laid back, you know, pretty laid back. And then there are other cultures that aren't so laid back. Now, I happen to be, German, okay? So we know that Germans have a reputation. I mean, in fact, they started two world wars in the first half of the 20th century, and they almost took over the whole world, you know, the size of a country that, the size of Texas or something of that nature. So they have a reputation for persevering and enduring. I don't know about patience, but so I grew up with German heritage. My mother's, in her home, they spoke German. During the war, my grandpa had a German prisoner of war stay with him in Canada. They were told, you know, don't tell people you're German. Tell people you're Russian, because, you know, they're on our side. Germany, you know, not so much. But he said, no, I'm German. He wasn't going to give up his heritage, right? So we grew up, when we would visit, we'd have German sausage and Neffler, strudel, you know, Kuchen, you know, pigs in a blanket, whatever, and it was good stuff, man. To this day, I have never had better food than what my grandma would cook. But be that as it may, a while back, Jan and I decided to go on AncestryDNA.com and check out our DNA. Have anybody ever done that, gone down there? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, it's a hoot and a holler, I'll tell you that. Anyway, so, you know, you spit in a little jar and you send it off, and 3 weeks later comes back this little printout, the website and all. And so here I am. I'm white, obviously. I mean, it's hard to get by that, right? So I'm like from Europe, and I'm from, you know, England, Ireland, Italy, France, the Baltics, the Cossacks, whatever that is. I have no idea. And my little map has got these little spots of all the places where my DNA has came from. All right, in the middle of Europe is Germany. And there isn't 1% of German blood in me, apparently. So I'm not German. I'm actually like English, Scottish, Irish, Italian. So, you know, if the Germans did have an advantage in persevering and gutting it out, I'm not with that group. So I'm glad that God doesn't work that way, right? He doesn't work that way. He gives us perseverance and patience and endurance as a gift. It is not our work to gut it out. I mean, perseverance is a wonderful trait, but it doesn't get us where we need to be. It is God's work. And I can prove that by a whole bunch of texts. I had to winnow it down to like three or four, because I didn't think you wanted to be here for an hour and a half. So So let's look at the first one. Let's do it together. It's two. There's Philippians 4:13. You all know this. You can do all things through Christ. All right? That's what the Bible says. You can do all things through Christ. And the corollary, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And you can do nothing without me. So everything with Jesus and nothing without him. So it would tend to think that, I would tend to think that this must be God's work. And it says in Philippians 2:13, it says also, for it's God's work in you both to will and to do. In other words, he gives you the will and he gives you the ability, to will and to do. And Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So that faith of Jesus doesn't come from me, it doesn't come from persistence. While I think, again, persistence is a wonderful trait, having the faith of Jesus and the patience of the saints doesn't come from me. Now, of course, we have a role to play, right? I mean, we just can't sit in the pew and say, that's it, we're good, and start doing whatever we want. It's not once saved, always saved. My apologies to the Baptist friends. But we have a work to do. We have a role to do. So what is our role? And I think we know our role. Our role is to simply respond to the Holy Spirit, seek the Lord, accept the gift, and surrender our will and abide in him. Now, if you're interested, there is a quote that I have written down in my Bible on page 47, Steps to Christ. I mean, if you want to know our role in his work, I don't know how many people read this book. This copy I've had since I was in high school. It's held together with tape. It's so marked up, I can't read some of the stuff in it anymore. Not that I'm such a spiritual person, but this is a book that you go to when you're searching for Christ. And when he seems far away or you seem to be lost and you can't find your way, this is an excellent book. It's short, takes a couple hours to read it. It is full of biblical promises and texts that lead us to Christ. So he says, we know that we get to Christ by the Holy Spirit. We accept the Lord, his gift, and surrender. And we do that through study, through sharing, and through praying, right? I mean, that's how we walk the Christian life. We study every morning and pray every morning, dedicate our lives to Christ, to do his will, and we say that he is our God. He is our God and nobody else. And if we do that, he's promised he'll never leave us. Romans 8, 35 and 39 is parts of the text. Are as follows, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height or depth, or any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So when we follow him, he never leaves us. So we can have that faith in Christ. We can have that patience and the faith of Jesus. You know, have you ever traveled in a train anywhere? That's kind of an archaic method of travel. Yes, I see a hand. So think about the Canadian Rockies. You know, have you ever been up there, all the mountains, and there's a train, you know, and you're on the train, and you have the beautiful scenery. And there's a tunnel in the Canadian Rockies between Revelstoke and Lake Louise that's called the Spiral Tunnel. Have you ever seen the Spiral Tunnel? Well, they have them in Europe, and they have them in Canada, too. And it's too steep for the train to go up. So it's like in a parking garage. You got to go in and make that circle to get to the next level, because you can't just drive up the ramp. So they have a spiral tunnel. That's a couple of them. You can only see the one, though. There's on the other side of the road. But there's a you can pull off on the road, and you can watch these trains go through the spiral tunnel. And you can actually see the train go in. It disappears in the mountains. And the same train, if it's long enough, will come out the other side while the train is here going in and the train is there going out. I should have brought a picture. But it's an interesting thing. Well, my point of this is it's dark in the tunnel. And the passengers, when the train is in the tunnel, they don't suddenly jump up and scream, where's the conductor? You know, you have faith in the conductor. He's leading the train, he's running the train, even when it is dark in the tunnel. Sometimes life is like that. We find ourselves going through a tunnel, and we oftentimes will scream, "Where's God? Where's God?" And that's where the faith of Jesus, endurance and patience and persistence comes in. Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." He will never leave. So that's a promise that we have from God. So we watched the Olympics recently. I don't know if any of you watched the Olympics recently, but I watched a little bit of it. I kind of got tired of all the shushing and jumping and sliding after a while, but, you know, it was interesting for a little while. So I watched one race, though, where this guy, Kruger, he's Norwegian, and he was, you know, favored to win a medal. Well, at the very beginning of the race, he fell down. A bunch of skiers fell into this pile of skis and poles and people. And when he pulled himself out, he had a broken ski pole, and he was just standing there, the last guy in the race. Well, the race is 30 kilometers. It's a skiathlon, whatever that is. So over the next 29 kilometers, he pulled back with the pack. And of course, people were wondering what was going to happen next. Well, over the next several kilometers, he pulled ahead with the leading pack and stayed with the lead pack for quite some time. And a couple kilometers before the end, he actually took the lead. And he won the race by a fair margin after having fallen down. Now, Olympians, so eventually he ended up getting the gold and his countrymen got the bronze and the silver. So Norwegian, they swept that event. Now the Olympians struggle, Paul says, Olympians struggle for a perishable crown. He was talking about back in the day, they simply got a wreath placed on their head, which would then wilt, rot, and fade away. Of course, we get medals now, which are a little more durable, right? But we all know, Peter tells us that there'll come a day when when the elements will melt with fervent heat. So that's a perishable piece of metal, even though gold is one of the most enduring metals, you know, that we have. And we struggle for an imperishable crown and for eternal life. Well, my wife did the DNA thing too, and her DNA turned out a little better than my DNA, at least the clarity of where she was from. So she gave me permission to tell about her DNA. It's rather personal, right? Your DNA, it's really who you are. Anyway, she came back Scandinavian, like 90 or 80% Scandinavian, which is no surprise. I mean, she's white. Look at her. Looks like Scandinavians. So when her Norwegian folks would be in the Olympics, those were her folk. And as you know, her folk, her people, over the years, Norwegians have won more medals in the Winter Olympics than any other country. And of course, this year was the same. So her people, they won more medals. Now my people, because I'm not about German, I'm from Canada, so my people, they did pretty well. The trouble was when her people played my people, but we seemed to get through that anyway. So she won most of the time. But anyway, so the Olympics, I mean, that is, these people spend their whole life preparing for a crown that is going to perish. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you will obtain it." You will obtain the prize. In the Olympics, there's only one gold medal and three people on the podium, but God doesn't work that way. Everybody who endures, perseveres, and has patience, they don't get a medal, but everybody wins, everybody gets a gold crown and eternal life. And it says in Revelation 7:14 about what we actually end up with, is the angel talking to John. And John says, "So he said to me, 'These are those that come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountain of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So, church members here in Brookings, that is what we strive for through patient endurance. Sometimes it looks like things aren't so well in life or not going so well for us, but endurance is a gift from God. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is in the bulletin that I mentioned. And I pray that we all have that to endure to the end, to get that crown, that imperishable crown and everlasting life, and we can stand before Jesus and God in heaven. I hope we're all there. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, it isn't about us. It's about you. May you keep striving with us, sending your Holy Spirit to us, convicting us of sin and our current need of you, leading us each day, as you've promised, in this Christian life, so that we can persevere, endure, and we can be found with those folks that have the patience of the saints and have kept the commandments of Jesus and have the faith of Jesus. Father, we pray that we'll be there in that group. Don't let any of us fall by the wayside. May none of us turn back. May we actually persevere and endure to the end. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.